Today on Real Life Radio.
Every atheist I've ever met has got an axe to grind against the God that they claim doesn't exist. So what are they so upset about? I love you because God loves you, Mr. or Mrs. Atheist. If you're an agnostic, I love you too. You're a little bit harder to figure out, but I love you too because God loves you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times we look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to meet with Him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever, Part 3. The Apostle Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus who later became a leader of the early church. His story is ancient, but really no different than what's happening today. We're still in need of a Savior, and Christ followers still need Peter's heartfelt words of compassion and encouragement. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that to reject salvation is to reject the greatest sacrifice that ever happened here on earth. Jesus gave His life to save ours. Even the angels are in awe of the gospel message and how Jesus is God revealed in human skin. Now, in his message called The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So 9 years ago, he came in here, heard the gospel, but he didn't get saved, but he was convicted, and he went away quickly off to college, and he said shortly after he was convicted, the Holy Spirit reached him at UCLA, and he said he's been walking with Jesus almost 9 years ever since. That's awesome. How does that happen? The gospel. Listen, some decisions are quick and some are slower. But by all means, decisions are made and Christ redeems. Are you willing today to be one who receives the message of Jesus Christ? You have to be open to that. It's very, very encouraging to hear that. Where were you? You know my story, but what about your story? I mean, I would love for you to go, I don't know, make it public. Be an evangelist. Go to my Facebook site and put it down there. Let the world read it. That's kind of fun to do. You just say, Pastor, I take you up on that challenge this morning. I heard what you said. This is how I got saved. Put it on the Facebook. Let the world read it. There's people all over the world that read that site, that Facebook page. Be an evangelist. Tell them. I was on my way to the beach to go to a party. God had other plans. God interrupted my life. I know that if you're a born-again believer today, God interrupted you. It's what He does. He's so good to do that. Listen, third point, final point for today. I say final point, we're not done. It's just the end of verse 12. We see here that salvation is of God, who provides the salvation of God. God's the one who provides it. It says in verse 12, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Two interesting things, both, if you allow me to, both representations to mankind from heaven. One is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as we've looked, He's a person. The Bible says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when we sin, as believers or non-believers, we upset Him, we hurt Him. The Bible tells us that He is silenced by sin. Not His, He has no sin. Our sins silence. It deafens our ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We all know this is true. When we commit a sin, if we keep doing it, it doesn't sting as much as it once did earlier. The first time you do something that you know is wrong for the first time. It's very, very difficult. The guilt, the shame, the conviction, strong. And then you keep repeating it and you don't hear him anymore. It's a dangerous place. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter, I don't remember verse, can't think of it. He who's often rebuked will harden his heart and he will be taken away, and that without remedy. This breaks a parent's heart, by the way, when it comes to our kids. You tell your kids, don't do that, and they do it anyway. Breaks your heart. They think it's funny. They think it's kind of cool. And they justify their decision, by the way, because after all, mom and dad are dumb. What do they know? They only pay all the bills and put food in my mouth. Amen, right? It's funny, though, it's funny how parents get smarter as your kids get older. Did you get that? So you tell your kid, don't do that. I told you 1,000 times, do not put the fork in the toaster. And the first time they blow themselves up, it kind of gives them a rush. If they keep doing it again, they're going to have neurological problems. I remember when I was not a Christian. Did you hear me? When I was not a Christian, I remember bringing home a girl that I was dating. And my mom, little tiny thing, Portuguese, barely spoke English, but she was able to get this out. She would say to me, that girl you brought here last night, I don't think she's good for you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. My mom is right every single time. She would say this, I think this, and she would say it, and I would say, okay, mom, whatever. And in my mind, my mom was giving her critique of that young woman, and my mind was, mom, that's exactly why I'm dating her. I told you this was before I was a Christian. And then one day and one day only and one person only did I bring a young lady home one day, and my mom and my dad, which my dad never said anything, both of them said, that girl's different. Don't let her get out of your sight. And I didn't. That was 39 years ago, and I don't plan on letting her out of my sight. But you harden your heart to God's word, and you keep pushing him away. And then, listen, you not only get cold and silent against the burn of sin, you begin to justify it. That's when someone's deep into it, when they justify their position. I'm this way because... Or it's the reason why. Have you ever heard that before? Self-justification. Be careful. Watch out. No, salvation is of God. He provides it. The Holy Spirit. It's remarkable. The Holy Spirit. When you begin to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a person, Jesus Christ is enthroned in heaven above. But the Word of God goes out through all the earth. And we're doing it right now, together, you and I. And the Holy Spirit takes God's word from you reading it, a message like this, a billboard, tracks, and he picks it up and he drives it into the ears and in the eyes of the reader, of the hearer, and he goes to work. Church, you and I are involved in a holy, awesome, lofty work together. I've got the big mouth shooting off the noise, but you make it happen. We're in this together. You know me, I'm a Bible teacher, I'm not an evangelist, but you are. Together, this is what happens. This is how we reach the world. This is how we reach down the street. This is how we reach the pharmacist. By Holy Spirit. Dwight L. Moody said, it is our privilege to know that we are saved. What a statement. It is our privilege to know that we are saved. God provides salvation. God wants you to know that you're saved. Dr. David Jeremiah, don't you love him? You know what? I love that guy. I almost passed out recently for joy. You know what I'm talking about? Dr. David Jeremiah, Shadow Mountain Church in my hometown, San Diego. Oh my goodness. I love that guy. If I wasn't going to church here, I'd be going to church there. I'm busy on Sundays, but if I wasn't, I'd be going there. And his office called and said, Pastor Jack, Dr. David Jeremiah is going to be out of town. Will you come and teach on a Sunday morning? Well, he does a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. And I had to say no. And I feel like I sinned. But I love that guy. I love his teaching. You want safe, solid teaching? Turn on your TV or go online to Dr. David Jeremiah. And I'm not being paid for this advertisement. I love him. I love Charles Stanley. Men of God who hold forth the word of God in an uncompromising way. Dr. David Jeremiah said this, saving us is the greatest and most concrete demonstration of God's love. It is the infinite display of his grace throughout all time and eternity. Hallelujah to that. God does it. God does the saving.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And now we come in for a landing. I love this next argument from heaven. Not just the Holy Spirit, but angels. Everybody likes to talk about angels. You know that? You can go to, they have angel conventions. You can get t-shirts with angels on them. They've got kites with angels. They've got poems. You can go to a Hallmark store and they got the angel. And then there's the angels, you know, that are hanging over your grandma's toilet on the wall with the little bow and the arrow with the little bubble bum, B-U-M-B, bum. You know, the little cherubim with the little chubby bodies and the little stubby wings. And they're going with the... You know those are not angels. You know what the Bible says about angels? They'll terrify you if you see an angel. Whenever an angel appears in the Bible, either A, they're disguised as a human, and you can't tell them from a human. That ought to freak you out. Are there any here this morning? The Bible says, watch out how you treat strangers, because in so doing, you could be entertaining an angel. Yikes. But the Bible also records that when biblical personalities saw angels, they were so terrified that they became sick. Daniel was sick for many days when he saw an angel. The book of Revelation records them as awesome creatures. And there's orders of angels, there's ranks. Did you know that? There's descriptions, and many of them are different. There's seraphim recorded in the Bible. There's cherubim. Cherubim, read the book of Ezekiel. Cherubim. They'll freak you out. They have eyes all around their head. They're recorded as having six wings, three sets of wings, six wings before the throne of God, Isaiah chapter 6. And when they come into the presence of Almighty God, the Bible says that they clothe their body with two wings. They hide their body in the presence of God. An angel has to hide and shield their body in the presence of God. And then it says, with the other two wings, they cover their face. And with the two remaining wings, they fly in the midst of him. Normally, what? They must fly, I don't know, with six wings going. But when they come into the presence of God, they've got to shield themselves from God's glory. An angel. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, in 1 hour, in one night, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian warriors in one night, one angel. How do they do that? One angel walked through Egypt on the night of the Passover and slew all the firstborn not covered by the blood. One angel. Oh, and what does our Bible say here? Oh, sorry, angels, things which angels desire to look into. What is it? Salvation. I don't want to make this a theological big deal, but the word implies that angels look into the salvation of humans that they do not have. It's something they don't own. Angels cannot be redeemed. Nowhere in the Bible does it say angels can be brought back from sin. Nowhere in the Bible, only a human. Angels, by the way, listen carefully. Angels are not created in the image of God. Did you know that? There's only one creation out of everything that's created in the image of God, and that is a human being. That's why we fight for life. That's why we fight for faith. That's why we fight for freedom. That's why we fight for family. That's why, by the way, all life is precious in the sight of God. You may be here today and you completely disagree with everything I think, say, and do. Do you understand something? I'm a Christian. It's fine with me. God loves you. You say, I'm an atheist and I hate God. Listen, that's impossible. You cannot be an atheist and hate God. Grow up. Either you're an atheist and you don't hate anybody, or there's something wrong with your logic and you say you don't believe in God, but you hate him. Every atheist I've ever met has got an axe to grind against the God that they claim doesn't exist. So what are they so upset about? I love you because God loves you, Mr. or Mrs. Atheist. If you're an agnostic, I love you too. You're a little bit harder to figure out, but I love you too because God loves you. I may not like you, but God tells me I'm supposed to love you. It's okay if you don't agree with me and or the Bible. It's not important to me. But what is awesome is that angels desire to look into the salvation you possess. Reformer John Calvin said, since no man is excluded from calling upon God, the gate of salvation is open to all. There is nothing else that hinders us from entering but one's own, what is it? Unbelief. And the angels must look down from heaven and say, God, what's wrong with those people? The greatest expense, greatest expenditure in all of time and eternity was at the blood of God in human flesh, Jesus Christ, and men reject the salvation, the love of God, heaven above, and people reject it, and angels. Angels must be in shock, right? Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. I'm almost done. Daniel 4, 13. The Bible calls them watchers. That ought to freak you out. Watchers. Where were you last night? I don't know. I don't care. But they were watching you. Oh, no, no. It was in the dark. They were in the dark. The Bible says, listen, Daniel chapter 4, 13. Behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. And he was in the back seat of the car with you last night. He went with you on your date. Watchers, God's watchers are everywhere. Think of that. We're never alone. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence of the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, says the Bible. The watchers are angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they, that's watchers, angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Listen, every little child, based on Hebrews chapter 1 and Matthew's gospel, Jesus said that before the throne of God, every child, an angel represents their face before the throne of God. Did you know that? You harm a child, and Jesus said, it will be better for you to have never been born than in the day of judgment when I get my hands on you. Jesus said that. He said it's going to be better. He said you're going to have a millstone that weighs 2,000 pounds tied around your neck and thrown into the bottom of the sea. That would be better than the day that I'm done with you, says Jesus, for molesting or harming a child. You touch a kid and the angel, the only way that you're not killed dead on the spot is that God is restraining the vengeance of an angel. God will judge in the end. And his watchers will give a report. He's holy. And think of it. There's one verse in all of the Bible that to me explodes this reality. I've loved this verse all my Christian life. Many of you have grown tired of hearing about it. Every time I see it in a brighter color. It's 1 Timothy 3:16. Please write it down. If you're going to get a tattoo, get this one. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy. I love what Paul is saying to Timothy. Without debate, you can talk about it all you want. Not going to change my mind. This transcends everything. Great is the mystery of godliness. What is it, Paul? God was manifested in the flesh. You want to talk about the deity of Jesus Christ? That's it. We're done here. Do you hear me? We're done here. No, I think it was a great teacher. No, we're done here. Oh, I think it was a very great philosopher. Nope. He was the best prophet. Nope. God was revealed in human skin to the world. Yeshua, Jesus, Joshua. Justified in the Spirit. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Seen by who? See the word seen? Circle it. seen by angels. When was God manifested in the flesh? Nice and loud. Yes, in Jesus, but when? Okay, you're giving me great answers, and all of them in a different context would work, truly. When? 1 Timothy 3:16 is referring to a moment in which God was revealed to mankind in human flesh. Say it. Say it again. Birth. I mean this. Are you guys listening? Please, with all respect, listen. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested, revealed in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels. The word in Greek means to be open. In fact, it's where we get the word opto or ophthalmologist or ophthalmology from. To have big, bright, clear vision. To see clearly, to see brightly. Angels saw for the first time, clear-eyed, brightly, something they had never seen before. Coming out of Mary, a human, was God veiled in human skin, coming into this world. And the angels, I mean this with all due respect, this verse argues that in the spirit realm, while Mary's giving birth, angels gathered about that stable in Bethlehem to fulfill the word seen by angels. The word means wide-eyed, open. We use the word to gawk. You know what to gawk at something means? It means to be wide-eyed and open-mouthed, to be shocked. I like the word technicolor. It's a made-up word, but it fits. Angels looked on in technicolor. At what? At the fact that the very one coming out of Mary, according to the Bible, Old and New Testament, was none other than their creator, the Son of God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and in Hebrews chapter 1 that God, the Christ Jesus, is the creator of angels. Did you know that? Did you know that they huddled around, and I mean this with reverence, they huddled around and they watched. Can you imagine among angel talk? They're looking, and Mary is breathing, and Joseph is loving, and Mary starts to crown, the baby's crowning, and the angels are looking, and they see black curly hair maybe. They see maybe a hand that comes out. And an angel looks on, and they see for the first time their creator veiled in human skin. Fulfilling the psalm, I believe it's Psalm 8. I'm having memory loss today. I think it's Psalm 8, where it says that he made him a little lower than the angels and did crown him with glory and honor, becoming a human. He made the fulfillment of that is that he became a little lower than the angels. How does God, who made angels, become lower than the angels themselves? Only one way, only by becoming human. And he came out into the world, and the angels gawked wide-eyed and open with jaw wide open. Angels, I would submit to you this morning, it's pretty hard to impress an angel. This impressed them. Do you know this salvation? I hope you do. You have absolutely not one good argument as to why you would resist him. You only have the scourge and the scars of personal experience maybe that you superimposed upon the love of God, and it's shielding, it's blinding you from seeing him. Instead, you're seeing this person that ripped you off, or that person that molested you, or that person that robbed you, or this person that said they were a Christian, but they did that to you. And all that stuff is not God. Will you look upon him like the angels gawk in amazement? Things angels desire to look into. If angels could only have the salvation that's available to you this morning, they would seize it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Greatest Teaching on Bible Prophecy Ever, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a study that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com. Did you know that Christian battles are sometimes lost simply because we fail to get involved? It's why our current featured resource can have such a powerful impact. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct, written by award-winning author Frank Turek. Dr. Frank tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism. Correct, Not Politically Correct is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. You'll find that at jackhibbs.com. jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.